Okay, it's time to commit. 2024 is the year for prioritizing yourself. Begin your new smile journey with Byte, and you could start seeing results in just 2 to 3 weeks. Just order your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95 at Byte.com. Byte clear liners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces, plus they offer financing options, accept eligible insurance, and you could pay with your HSA, FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Today on Quickslants the Podcast, the Ravens put to bed. Next up, Denver. Are the Patriots all you thought they were cracked up to be? Or not yet? Cyrus Jones still making like Lionel Messi out there. Boy, was it messy.
All that and more today on Quickslants the Podcast.
Presented by Papagino's.
Thanks, Adam.
What's up, everyone? Boy, that was a good game, huh? I mean, all week long, talking about the boogeyman under your bed, Phil, and welcome to Ravens. They're going to chop your heads off and watch the cartilage of your neck and throat spill on the floor. But what ended up happening was Patriots choked their asses out for most of the game until all of a sudden Cyrus Jones took a flamethrower to that result, huh?
Good game. Good game, and I thought a signature win, Tom. Dominant performance, really, a lot of ways. If you take those two fumbles out, what qualms do you have with the Patriots' performance?
Qualms.
That's a tough one for you.
The swallowing. I know, I'm an elf.
That was like Chewbacca from the Star
qualms.
Wars.
Yeah. What's up,
like
Adam?
Hey, guys, I have some information that you already know, but maybe the people don't. And that is, with dough-made fresh daily and Walpole mass from just 5 simple ingredients, nothing else tastes like Papagino's. It's the official pizza of the New England Patriots and this here podcast, Quick Slants the Podcast. And I greatly undercounted how many new reviews we have. We got 5 stars like you read about.
What?
Rated 5-star reviews, huh?
Turns out you
have no qualms.
You got to hit more reviews to get like all of them.
Oh, yeah. That noise makes me cringe for some reason.
But I want to read.
probably not real good for the listeners so far, then. Sorry, folks.
I want to read just this one, and then maybe Phil will read some more later. They're all 5-star because you know they are. You know how good we are. But this one is Quick Slants the Podcast. It's from Bob. You got to read. You got to listen to it. You got to listen to it.
Bob's, I just don't want people trying to like.
Well, that's the whole. Yeah.
I want.
This one's a good one.
Critiques, too.
Yeah, well, it's a good one.
Oh, so. Boy. That just opened up Pandora's box. Go ahead, Ed.
Well, I mean, critiques are good. Bob Stewart from Mobile, Alabama. I know a podcast is 5 stars when I spend the next 3 days annoying my wife by talking in Tom's opening intro voice. Best podcast in the world, Pat's podcast in the world. I just wish Papagino's was down in Mobile, Alabama.
Wait, so that person speaks to his wife?
Today.
Yeah.
Got a meeting with Phil today. Gonna try and take the Pontiac. Wait a minute. Pontiac's out of business, just like Oldsmobile.
That poor woman.
I'll see you around 5.
That poor, poor woman.
So anyway, that was it.
All right. Good, good, good. No, but I seriously appreciate the 5-star review, Bob, from Mobile. Certainly. And I don't even mean to trivialize it the way I said it. That kind of tone. Appreciate it. I really do appreciate you doing that. But I do want people to continue with the 5 stars, but also, you know, critiques and suggestions are good, too. So I'm behind that.
I'm surprised that you're doing this because you, of all people, know how mean people can be on the internet.
What do you mean, of all people?
You spend time on this very podcast. We basically live podcasted your back and forth with a Twitter troll a couple weeks ago.
Yeah.
So now you're inviting all that to be added to our little podcast world, which so far has been a nice little bubble of positivity.
Yeah.
So I'm just gonna say, be careful what you wish for. I encourage the listeners to be honest with us.
Honest.
That's all we want is honesty. But positivity is good, and you know, if like
All right.
You know, so if you could just lean that way. That
we want positive feedback.
Yeah.
And we want observations as to how to make it better. But off with your just cavalier, hurtful comments.
That's what I'm talking about.
Off.
That's my guy. Okay, Tom, let's talk about this game a little bit more.
You called it a signature win.
We skimmed the surface.
You called it a signature win.
Sure was.
I concur on a number of different fronts. First, let's revisit some of the niggling criticisms that we've had for this team over the past 8 weeks or so.
Let's do it.
An 11-2 team now. The main one being that they're shoddy on the back end, permissive at the sticks, and a defense that was being exposed on a regular basis and wouldn't hold up against a good team. Now, I heard Felger and Gravelly Maz today making the point that they're still not going to buy in. I mean, do you have to be Alabama? Do you have to be the damn Crimson Tide?
You do.
In the NFL
you
for
do.
People to actually, quote-unquote, buy in? I mean, what is this buying in? You're investing
in the
team? I
think so. It's an interesting conversation.
But we don't want to go too far afield.
Yeah, we can.
I like the way you just patted me back and brought me back around.
Yeah.
It's a signature win. Adam, peace out. Thanks a lot. Bye. Appreciate you. Adam has to scoot.
Adam's taking off.
This is one of a million responsibilities Adam has. So
he literally gets pulled in about a dozen different directions every time he's doing this podcast.
Video production.
So whenever you hear
production.
Him on the microphone, he's not only doing this, he's not only producing this and doing the post-production on this, which can be very difficult when Tom drops about, you know, between 6 and 2 dozen F-bombs in any given show. But mm-hmm. he's doing a bunch of different things. God bless that guy.
But we spent a lot of time criticizing the Patriots' defense for being somewhat soft and hard to buy into. And
are you buying in now?
I'm buying into the improvement that I thought would occur. I'm buying into my own theory that the Patriots would look better against an easily findable quarterback as opposed to the Kaepernicks and the Russell Wilsons and the Tyrod Taylors who made them not be aggressive defensively. I'm buying into Matt Patricia doing a better job, and I'm buying into the fellas following the lead of McCourty and Hightower. I'm buying into guys like Sheard for not being a dink and taking it constructively. Ninkovich, also a captain. I'm not buying into these guys being able to shut down every team in football, but I'm buying into the improvement. And this, to me, the scheme of dropping 8, sometimes 7, and sending 4 in the way that they did was the reason that they had the Baltimore Ravens offense, which had been hot with a very productive veteran quarterback, looking like ass, Phil.
Yeah, it was the smart thing to do. I think people just assume that being more aggressive, bringing pressure, bringing blitzes, 5, 6 rushers at a time, is the way to disrupt opposing quarterbacks, and that's not necessarily always the case. This Ravens team is one that, with Joe Flacco, has been long willing to push the ball down the field, and while they still do that, the offense is a little bit different under Marty Morningweg. He's a West Coast guy, which means a lot of horizontal stuff, and you let those guys with the big play talent catch the football about 10 to 12 yards from the line of scrimmage and then try to go crazy with it down the field. We didn't necessarily see a lot of those deep throws, which the Patriots are pretty good at defending, and Devin McCourty had the pick on Mike Wallace, you know, deep down the middle of the field, and so maybe that deterred them later on in the game. But it was the smart game plan for this situation, just as against Jared Goff, trying to disguise where you're bringing rushers from and bringing extra rushers occasionally, not all that often, and just trying to get him rattled that way was the smart thing to do. So it's a game plan team, offensively, defensively, and it just feels like Patricia, Bill Belichick, on that side of the football, they're more comfortable with what guys can do and their expectations for given players, including Jabal Sheard, including Kyle Van Noy, who's really come on.
Big point.
I think they trust Shea McClellan. He still hasn't shown up with a lot of big plays, but he's been getting a lot of work. And so I think they feel like they've found something. I know I was a little bit interested to see how the secondary would come together with no Eric Rowe. It was trending that in such a direction that we knew Eric Rowe probably wasn't going to be able to play. That ended up being the case. Not a whole lot of drop-off there with really your number two guy who had just been determined as your number two guy not on the field. So all around, front, linebacker level, better communication, back end, I thought it was a good performance from those guys.
I think the communication that we're seeing, they pushed a lot of chips into the middle of the table, Phil, when they made that deal.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, they pushed a lot of chips into the middle of the table with Jamie Collins, and they set themselves up by dealing for Van Noy. They set themselves up with at least a fail-safe, which has not been employed with Mingo. They felt they had something in Landon Roberts. How did he play last night anyway?
He's not really playing much at all, which is what's interesting about the Collins. No, I don't think so. It could be. He has been on the injury report with a couple different things in recent weeks, but I just think he's at a point right now where they don't necessarily trust him in certain situations, passing situations. But, you know, down by the goal line, he was on the field for the safety play, Malcolm Brown's play. But he has been severely limited, which to me is interesting because when they made the Collins trade, I thought it was in part because they trusted this kid to really turn into something and they thought they had something there. And that's what it looked like because he was splitting reps with Jamie Collins at the time. Now he's totally fallen off, and it's Kyle Van Noy, who I'm not sure they thought they could have really pulled as much as they've pulled out of him already at the time of the trade. So things have worked out in such a way that it's made the deal look a little bit better.
They pushed their chips into the middle of the table, and there must have been some sweaty palms at junctures when they were trying to figure out, are these guys going to get it or are they not? I think it's Van Noy, really, who's been the biggest key among the guys who they put their faith in.
Can rush. Been pretty good in coverage. Gotten his hands on the football a handful of occasions. They've had him run the huddle at times when Dante Hightower's not on the field. So that's – I don't know if anybody saw it working out this well.
I
don't think in terms of people that cover the team, certainly not.
And I think that Jabal Sheard, I don't know how great his impact was, nor do I think that the impact of Chris Long as the season has gone along has been as significant in plays. But I think that both of those – it's all roles. It's all getting better all year long. And while I said this earlier that usually it takes until October for the Patriots to figure out what they wanted to do, this year it seemed like Thanksgiving. But do you see their confidence being something that's going to set them apart going into December? We're in December.
I just think it's going to be a positive factor for this team. Whereas before, I'm not sure it was necessarily confidence. I think it's understanding what your role is and you're saying it. It's their job. It's just everybody's playing. It feels like they have a lot of role players who now all of a sudden in the last few weeks have had their roles more defined.
This
and
is
I
what
think
we're
going to
do against
everybody
this.
More comfortable.
And this is what we're going to do against that.
Eric Rowe, you're our right corner when healthy. Malcolm can stay on the left side. He's good there. Logan, you're in the slot.
Is he freaking you out at all?
Who's that?
Logan.
No. I don't think so. I know it wasn't he didn't have a great game against Baltimore the other night, but he is what he is. He's a solid tackling he's not necessarily going to get his hands on that many footballs, but he's going to be right there and he's going to limit you in terms of your yards after the catch. He's not going to break up a whole lot of passes.
That's a great point. He's not going to kill you, but he's not going to win you a game either.
No, but I think they're okay with, and you know, it's a bend but don't break idea and philosophy, playing that way until you get into the red zone and then trying to lock it down a little bit.
Which
obviously,
is
they don't
plays,
want him giving up 15-yard passes.
But, that,
you know,
but
every
you're
time
right. You know, that's where his skill plays in. He's not a small corner relative to some other guys. And when you do get it compressed, he's strong enough to get up on guys and play. It's
led them in tackles last year. I mean, he's good. So he's good against the run. He can blitz a little bit. That's why the slot works for him well, and that's why it's important for that entire group to be healthy. If Rowe comes back and he can be that outside guy, and then you have Ryan in the slot, I think that just helps them immensely. It makes everybody better.
Pass rush continues to be a difference maker as well. The other area that I'm extremely impressed by is this is a team without Rob Gronkowski. Think about this. Less than 2 weeks ago, we were all flipping out because Gronk was done for the year. They just beat Baltimore without Gronk, not a mention or a whisper made of it. they beat them without him figuring into the running game. Haven't spoken much about the impact of Martellus Bennett, who had a very good game in the passing game after being in disrepair a week ago. But I think this running game, Phil, is absolutely number one what sets this team apart from the 2015 team.
I agree with you, because it just wasn't even an option at the end of last year. No Deion Lewis, no LeGarrette Blount. Steven Jackson's the guy. The offensive line's a mess.
Gone.
They can't make any kind of space, whether it was – I actually am one of the few people who didn't think that – I mean, Jackson wasn't good, but it wasn't like he was taking the ball and falling down at the line of scrimmage. He had nowhere to go.
He was getting 2.1, but that's all it was.
The line was a mess. So that has been a huge, huge improvement from a year ago. A lot of that due in part to – Dante Scarnecchia. Shaq Mason, I think, has taken a pretty significant leap.
That I was going to ask you that. Is he a Pro Bowl level player?
I don't think so. There's a lot of good guards in the league. But I think they think he may be trending that way. He is. What he does really, really well is move, which is not usually what you talk about when you talk about a 300-pound guard. But plays where he's pulling, those power run plays. I know they highlighted it on the broadcast. For the Ravens game, when he's out in space on screens, he's very athletic, and it shows up, and he has enough power. He's not a huge guy, 6'1", but he has enough power that when he gets going and he gets his hands on you or he gets his helmet in the middle of your chest, you're not making the play.
I mean, so, he was moving the hell out of Brandon Williams. Brandon Williams, I believe.
Brandon Williams on the goal line, he
must
pushed
be like
him right out of the way.
380. He's listed at 340, but he is
big
a dirigible.
Play.
I mean, he looked like a friggin' Zeppelin coming out. I mean, I'm honest to God. I thought that somebody dressed up a goddamn killer whale and put feet on him in a helmet and put him on the – I mean, this guy was so damn
– How big was he, Tom?
Anyway.
Yeah.
Good job by Mason. Good player.
Good player. Marcus Cannon. I mean, the whole line has been good. Marcus Cannon. Nate Solder's been very good, even though we don't talk about him a whole lot.
When are they going to miss Gronk?
They're going to miss Gronk when they go up against a team that plays really good defense in the red zone. I think that's really where they'll miss him the most. They'll also miss him, and, you know, people listening can, you know, maybe find a piece of lumber somewhere and start knocking. If Julian Edelman were to ever miss any time whatsoever, that's when you would start to really miss him, because you'll miss him on third down. It's those crucial situations where, you know, and I'm not saying Brady doesn't trust the guys that are healthy and that are out there right now. The fact that he trusts Malcolm Mitchell and Chris Hogan as much as he does has been a huge deal for this offense. But what Gronkowski gave you in the red zone and on third down, those plays at the sticks where he could just use his size to post up on somebody and extend a drive, is gone. You still have it in Martellus Bennett in some respects, and Bennett will just play that role that Gronkowski will play, but how healthy he is for the stretch run is something that I'm interested to see. Because he looked a lot – didn't he look a lot better to you the other night?
It was strange.
It was weird because
first
he looked
catch,
like
he
a
had
mess
the stop
the
and go, elusiveness that we hadn't seen since earlier in the year. And you pointed it out multiple times last week how much of a liability you thought that he was even in the running game, and he admitted it himself. Let's do a fun exercise. I think we've always done fun exercises here on Quick Slants, the podcast.
It's a staple of our show.
Enjoy. So I want you to all buckle up your chin straps, okay? Tie your shoes, look yourself straight in the face, and figure out, aside from Tom Brady, who are the five most important Patriots offensive players at the skill position starting – I can't start at number five. It's too confusing. Let's start at number one.
Yeah, let's make it easy.
Number
the
one.
The easier, the better for us. That's just a
– one.
Yeah.
For me, Julian Edelman.
I'm with you.
Two, for me, Malcolm Mitchell.
Wow, interesting. Okay.
Two for you?
Two for me. It might be Nate Solder.
I just said skill position.
Oh, right.
I just said it.
I told you we were going to have to make this easy. It's late. I'm sorry. I'm tired. It was late. Sorry. No complaining here. We're just going to trudge forward.
Trudge. You don't trudge.
I said trudge. It was a U. Number two, Chris Hogan. Sorry. He's your number two receiver. I don't know. I'm not sure how you could put Mitchell ahead of him.
Okay, number three for me is Martellus Bennett. Don't know why you wouldn't have him there. Excuse me, folks. Excuse me. Skill position. I have not included LeGarrette Blount. We're both tired.
No, that's okay.
All right, three is going to be Leggy for me.
Yes. I'm going Edelman, Hogan. I'm also LeGarrette Blount, three, and then a Martellus Bennett, four, and then a Malcolm Mitchell, five.
All right.
He's been great. I just – he's not top two. After Brady, come on.
Here's why I say it.
Where's your head?
Here's why I say it.
Why? Go.
I think that he's more difficult to cover than Martellus Bennett.
What about Chris Hogan?
He is. This is hard. Chris Hogan to me appears.
I also think Hogan's better.
I like Hogan as a player. I like him as an individual.
Nobody cares. Why is he not higher than Malcolm Mitchell on your list?
You just chopped me off at the damn knees. And I liked it. Can't be sitting around just filibustering on these damn things.
No You're time right. for niceties.
So screw it. Doesn't matter whether I like Hogan or not. Hogan looks brittle to me. I worry that he's going to get hurt. I don't think that Mitchell is brittle in the same way. Additionally, as Brady himself acknowledged on the 79-yard touchdown, Hogan wasn't the first read. Hogan is not a first read kind of guy. Hogan, despite his white boy speed, being able to run a 4.39 does not seem to have that quick twitch elusiveness that I see with Edelman, Amendola, because he's a little bit bigger guy, Mitchell. And I think the Mitchell's hands, outside the numbers ability, and quickness are different.
I do agree with you with one thing. I think Mitchell might have better hands, and that's hard for me to say. Because Mitchell has had his share of double catches this year, but he, by and large, catches everything thrown to him. And Chris Hogan has had very good hands this year. He had a double catch the other day in the flat. I just think Mitchell's hands, like, they might be special. You talk to players in that locker room about the things that he's able to do in practice. In terms of
who's got the special hands?
That's
Mitch.
That's your guy. It's Money Mitch. But Chris Hogan, to me, is your second most important guy. Blount is very close, because if you lose him, you really have no replica on your roster. Tyler Gaffney's not giving you what LeGarrette Blount gives you. Deion Lewis and James White are not giving you what LeGarrette Blount gives you. He has been their closer. He has just been a consistent get what they give you and make people pay at the second and third levels.
And make guy. Them have to account for you. I don't care if they hold you to 38 yards on 19 carries. You have to account for them.
Here's my argument for Chris Hogan. He gives you a vertical presence that you lost a little bit of when you lost Rob Gronkowski. He is able to stress safeties in a way that I don't think Malcolm Mitchell does just yet. He's also, in my opinion, a better run blocker than Mitchell is. Mitchell has had some impressive blocks on the outside this year as a rookie. He, to me, is the more brittle of the two. And I'm not really sure why you think Hogan is brittle, because I've seen the guy think about that massive shot he took over the middle in that game against the Jets and just popped back up. And he went into that game with a back injury and was
what
fine.
What happened to Mitchell? He dislocated an elbow trying to work.
He's been hurt. That's the reason he fell as far
thing.
As he did.
All right.
So
I just I see. Hogan gets flung around a little bit more easily.
Mm.
All right. We've spent too long on this. It was a good exercise. I hope you guys all enjoyed that.
That was fun for me because I think I won.
I mean, it's not a contest.
Oh, yeah. Sorry. Let's go.
The only contest is to provide good content.
Is this a good time more ratings? Because we got more ratings. Adam left them for me.
Should we do another Papageno's?
Yeah, let's do that first. Just remind the people what we remind them of every week, which is with dough made fresh daily in Walpole, Mass. From just five simple ingredients, nothing else tastes like Papageno's. It's the official pizza of the New England Patriots. I'm looking forward to picking up at least 5 to 6 slices at some point this week down at Gillette Stadium.
Okay.
Because I only had 3 last week, and I actually heard it from some people. People calling me soft, people questioning my love of Papageno's. It's become a thing. And so now I feel like I have to ramp it up a little bit. In terms of the reviews, Adams left these with me after his departure here, and we have one from RyeGuy230. Says, great podcast. It's a five-star review.
Thanks, bud.
He says, Pat's fan defending the wall out in Seattle. Against
He's in the belly of the beast.
All the insufferable 12th man, quote-unquote, fans. Ooh, a little shot there. He says, love the podcast. I can tell you guys are fans, but maintain appropriate amount of objectivity. Keep up the good work. That's my first time seeing that. I'm not sure. How do you feel about that, Tom? We're not.
I grew up
we're
here.
We're not fans.
I grew up here. Guy. I cried when I was 10.
You love telling that story.
Then finish it. Podcast.
No, you cried when you were 10 because it was Gino Capoletti, I believe, mishit a punt into the first row. Was that when was that?
You love telling this story.
And then you have no idea what the story
is. Wasn't it Gino? Sorry, go ahead.
How old do you think I am?
I'm kidding. I know.
You're a dink. Kent Stabler going in from,
right,
from
that's
the three,
was.
You'd think.
I grew up following the team.
I would rather see them play well than play poorly. It's good for business when they play well.
Sure.
There are players on the team for whom I have respect and coaches for whom I have respect.
No doubt.
I would rather see them do well than poorly. But I still think when they suck, I'm all right at telling people that they suck. And with that in mind, before we get to news go, the level of suck exhibited by Cyrus Jones leaves me gobsmacked.
A lot of good words, word master words from you, Phil, today. I know we got listeners out there who can appreciate a good word master word.
Bill Belichick, Joe Judge, and the entire organization's decision to put Cyrus Jones on the field on Monday night to return punts. Because I don't think you throw the baby out with the bathwater in the National Football League. You do what's best for the team, but you also bet on your ability as personnel purveyors and as coaches to say, this kid can do it. He's going to be all right. And when he doesn't do it, it doesn't rest necessarily on the coaching staff for putting him in a position to fail. Because this isn't a guy who did something on Monday night that the team should have been able to foresee. Well, Pop Warner kids know to stay away from the football. You can't predict breakdowns. Yeah. He had mental breakdowns, Phil. Can you countenance him being on the field again if you're the Patriots coach?
Listen, we went on Sportsnet Central before the game the other night, and I said, can't have him out there. You just can't do it. It was clearly in his head, not only in punt returns, but in kick returns. I think he had done a good job in terms of facing the music. He's a mature kid.
He's been a music facer.
He's a smart kid. He has been willing to take questions on it and answer them honestly. And he said last week, I understand the coaching staff – I put them in a tough position in terms of their ability to trust him, given what he had shown on game days. But your point is an interesting one, because how could you possibly, unless he had done it in practice, which we assume he has not, because otherwise, then what are you doing putting him out there? But in practice, I would find it really hard to believe that he's running up to footballs that are rolling around on the ground and coming within inches of touching them.
Think
or
about that.
Booting them around. Like,
can't be something that's going on.
I wrote about
field.
It a little bit last night, and it looked like the way he kicked that football the other night, he looked like a defender in soccer. You know when you don't really have anywhere to go with it, and you just kind of kick it back to your goalie, and you restart things? I know nothing about soccer, so I apologize to all the soccer
it's
fans
called a
out
touch,
there.
I think.
You just touch it back to the goalie. Yeah.
It was nice. No one ever apologizes. You know what no one ever does? Apologizes to soccer fans. They don't.
That's true.
So that was
they
nice.
Have it pretty tough. But anyway, that's what it looked like to me. And you're right, I think, in that you can't foresee that. But I think you have to be able to gauge where the player is mentally. And while you do want to show faith in him and you don't want to, quote unquote, lose him, I think there are ways of doing that without putting him in a spot that is one of the loneliest in the sport of football, which is all alone, nobody within 50 yards of you, everybody looking at you knowing that you've been a mess all season in this thing, and asking him not to screw it up. I thought that was a tough spot to put him in. I think you have to get him right.
Think about this. 2013 and 2015, punts against the Denver Broncos figured into the eventual winner of those football games.
It's an important job.
Got hit in the dink. No, he didn't get hit in the dink. Somebody else did. By a bounding punt when somebody didn't yell, Peter, 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 Peter.
Right.
And then Chris Harper butchered a punt last year. It's an important job, Phil. It's an important job.
Is this the week we see Griff Whalen? Do we see Griff Whalen out in Denver? See the guy returning
punts? He lives
punts?
On a plant-based diet, folks.
Interesting.
Griff Whalen
cat.
Lives on a plant-based diet.
Vegan, right? Or is
he
that?
He looks like, yeah, it is.
Yeah.
He looks like he's 13 years of age. And he, of course, was the center on, I like to call it fourth and wrong. It never really caught on. But he was the center on fourth and wrong. And I suggest anybody out there who's near a computer, and I would imagine a lot of you will be, go ahead and look for Colts fake punt Tecmo and watch that. It's, I put it in my story the other day, but it's just the Tecmo Bowl rendition of Griff Whalen's fake punt gone bad, which gives me a chance to do the Tecmo Bowl.
I can tell you've been thinking about how you were going to pull that off for the last 10 to 12 seconds.
All right, folks, last thing I think I want to get to before news go. And before we segue into the Broncos,
let's have it.
Brady MVP candidacy certainly helped in primetime on Monday night.
But certainly.
The longer we go and the more I think of the definition valuable, the harder time I'm having not saying that Dak Prescott of the 11. And I'm not trying to hot take you mother scratches. Believe me.
Feels that way.
It feels that way?
Why? Tell me why.
Because people with...
It's how I feel in my heart.
People with off-the-beaten-path opinions that are well-considered these days are easily dismissed as hot-take artists. I'm not in this instance. Usually not at all. Just look at this situation with Dak and the expectations and where you felt that team would be in Dallas without Tony Romo and what they've gotten. When we look at sheer value... He has provided it all year long. They have two losses, both to the Giants. And no, he didn't play well the other night. No, he did not. But consider as well that the Patriots went 3-1 without Tom Brady on the field. And when we talk value, I do not want to undermine. When we talk value to winning a Super Bowl, if we were able to evaluate the entire season, which we're not, we have to do this at the end of the regular season, I would say probably Tom Brady will be my guy. If we're talking about a 19-game season, but we're just talking 16. And it's got to be Dak. It's got to be Dak.
You make a compelling argument. And the numbers are really good.
The numbers are
good. I can't really argue. They're not as good as Brady's, and they're not as good as, say, Derek Carr's. But they're strong numbers. 20 touchdowns, 4 picks, 7.9 yards per attempt, 66, basically, completion percentage. Really good numbers for a rookie quarterback. This isn't Tom Brady circa 01, where what do you think he averaged that year in terms of yards per game, 150?
Oh, per game. No. He was probably 220. But it was
220.
I would say between 200 and 220.
Okay.
But he was a 60% completion guy. But he was yards per attempt, probably around 6.
Yeah.
And 8 is upper tier.
So he is a good NFL quarterback. Full stop. However, benefiting from the best running game in football, the best offensive line in football, and has one of the best receivers in football to throw to, and also one of the best slot receivers in football, and Cole Beasley. He has a lot of talent around him, Tom. Does that not diminish his value somewhat? Can you not separate the record from
slack-jawed at the temerity that you show to downgrade him for the talent around him when the greatest living coach, perhaps in any sport, is on the sidelines for Tom Brady. Think about it, Phil.
It's a significant benefit. However,
in addition, okay, he's got a transcendent tight end who just got hurt, and into the void steps Martellus, Martisaurus, Rex Bennett. Additionally, if Cole Beasley's one of the best slots in the league, the slot would be Julian Edelman.
You got a lot of people in New England ripping their hair out right now to hear you say that. Julian Edelman's not a slot receiver. That's an against the grain take that a lot of people like to have. It's not necessarily a take that I have. I do think he plays a lot in the slot, guys. He runs a lot of slot type routes.
So that's just a feeling on the MVP candidacy, and it's probably going to shake out quite a bit over the next three games. Anyway.
Listen, it's a good argument.
It's a good conversation.
It's a good conversation.
I mean, you're back with the contentiousness.
No, I'm just,
everything's not a competition.
Okay.
Sorry about that. I am so hungry, folks.
I just think that last thing. Sorry, I know we got to move on. I think they could be in the exact same spot right now with Tony Romo. I don't think if you take Tom Brady off this team.
I think he would have screwed up a few more times.
Tony Romo?
Yeah. I think he would have hurt you. I do.
He probably would have, but they still would have a tremendous record. It's a good team. It's a good team.
And there's some donkey out there who's telling me that the two greatest football, I mean, they could use the analytics and tell me that Don Maynard, Don Hutson, and Otto Graham, along with Tony Romo, are the four greatest football players in history. They have some analytic to prove it. But I just have a feeling that if he was playing quarterback, he'd have peed down his leg a few times.
He probably would have. But not saying the Patriots don't have a good team. They have a good team, too. Listen, it's a good conversation. Right, let's move on.
News, and then we go. He usually does a little break with some music here, right?
Yeah, he throws it. Cool.
Tom, news, go. Devin Hester. I called that one on myself. I audible to myself just because I wasn't sure you were ready.
Devin ready.
Hester released by the Baltimore Ravens, and the reason he was released was he just did the opposite of what Cyrus Jones did. He stayed the hell away from all bounding punts.
They couldn't really find a happy medium between the two, could they?
So he was released by the Ravens. He's as opposed to, again, the polar opposite of Cyrus Jones. He's a Hall of Fame returner, possibly, if anybody will ever be. Phil.
Maybe.
It's for another day. It's a great talk, though. He's available. Would you bring him in, Phil?
Nope.
Okay. Griff Whalen it is. Phil, news go.
Tom, Josh McDaniels was asked on his Tuesday morning conference call, any interest in interviewing for that open Rams gig? He said no. Well, he didn't exactly say no. He said he's focused on the Denver Broncos right now and that he's spoken about his name being bandied about when it comes to coaching searches in the past. And right now, it's all in on the Denver Broncos. The time will come where the conversation needs to be had.
Real freaking soon.
Right? End of the regular season, essentially.
December 13th right now. Happy birthday, Danny Curran, by the way. My boy turns 19 today. He's my middle son. He's proud, proud, proud son of him. Sorry.
Happy birthday, DC.
Had to happen.
He listens to this.
I shamed everybody.
Doesn't he? He'll listen now.
Now he will.
Yeah. So anyway, Josh McDaniels, you think LA's a good fit for him?
Everything depends on the general manager. Unless Snead right now is the general manager there, I don't know if you can say that he is. I mean, they provided Jeff Fisher with good players, and there seemingly was some tension between, what they called it, healthy tension between he and Jeff Fisher. But Jeff Fisher was hired with the notion that he would be the chef and purchasing his own groceries. So, I mean, I don't know if Snead sucks too, but I know Fisher sucked. So does he have the stink of Fisher on him? Perhaps.
Quarterback factors in there, too. If he doesn't like Jared Goff, I can't see him going there.
Plus, you know, it's a league flagship franchise. I could see the league and Stan Kroenke.
Could be a
crap ton of money. But I could also see, you know, the marionettes or the string pullers at the league going, do you want Josh McDaniels out there? I mean, he's going to come out there with a Belichick-type mentality. You never know. There just might not be that many opportunities.
I think there'd be a few. Chicago could be out there.
To be continued.
Jacksonville could be out there. GM in Jacksonville. Josh McDaniels' college football teammate at John Carroll U. David Caldwell. Played linebacker. Is Dave Caldwell?
Dave, yeah. You're
yeah.
Right.
Played linebacker, John Carroll.
Yeah, but he might get the
Josh
pipe
McDaniels
as well.
Is on the other side. That's true. Tom, news, go.
Phil, Ryan Tannehill, that ACL not torn. So, he may be back later in the season, and this Dolphins team, which had a stirring win the other day over the Arizona Cardinals under the auspices and guidance of Matt Moore, still has a shot at the playoffs. Will Ryan Tannehill be there to quarterback this lonely Finns franchise? We'll see. Patriots will be down there in just a couple of weeks. Phil, news, go.
Tom, Rex Ryan is still the head coach of the Buffalo Bills. That's all. I feel like that's fairly newsworthy. Is it not? I mean, do you feel like this guy should be fired? I don't think so. I think they got to give him another year. And I know that sounds crazy. I know he's not a great coach. But if you want to install a program, if you want to let the guy build, he still needs better talent at key positions. I'm not sure that he's been able to really fill out the defense the way he wants to. I think you got to give him one more year to get that done.
Let some
of these
year.
Rookies that he drafted this year that have some promise, let them develop, let them get healthy. Give him another year. He's still the head coach, and I think that will be a news go again next week. I think he will remain the head coach of the Buffalo Bills. Top news go.
I don't really have much else, but let me news go you this.
People are riveted.
If you were going to try and find a quarterback.
Intro like that.
And you were a former fat guy like Rex Ryan, would you think the better option would be Romo or Garoppolo? You talk amongst yourselves. Phil, you don't have to answer. This concludes this week's portion and segment. News go. Patriots at Broncos. Discouraging outcomes over the last, two meetings, at the very least, and throughout the years. Many times I've been in Denver and seen losses. You know, I got to tell you something else, too, segueing. I appreciate very much my job, the fact that I pretty much can guarantee you that I wouldn't have been to Denver that many times if I wasn't a Patriot sports writer. So not only have I not a Patriot sports writer, although some would allege that I am, I'm a sports writer covering the Patriots. But, man, you get to go out there all the time and cover these flipping games that people would say, oh, remember that time I went once out to Denver? I've gone a crap ton of times to Denver. You haven't had a chance to go yet, have you?
Have not been. Back in the studio holding things down. You feel the altitude as a sports writer in the press box?
Yep.
Make it harder on you?
You're not in the press box, but when you hustle down to field level and try and scurry into the locker room in a fast fashion, you can feel it.
You can't really.
I think the Patriots, based upon what we saw the other day, based upon quarterback Trevor Siemian, based upon their running game, based upon the fact they lost by two last year in Denver when Tom Brady was taking 25 vertebrae threatening hits, should win Sunday in Denver at 4:25 p.m.
They should.
That's really all I have to say on this game.
That's all you got, that they should win? Okay. No, that's fine. That's fine.
Denver's just not as good as they were.
They're not as good as they were. I think they lost some key pieces in the trenches on both sides of the football. Derek Wolfe is now the guy on the interior of that defensive line. Very good player, but doesn't have a whole lot of help.
Oh!
He...
What a donkey. So hungry, folks.
Isn't he the... Derek Wolfe, I believe, is the player, it was reported, threatened to, or
oh,
reportedly told Brady that he was going to eat his children, something like that. So
I'm that hungry right now. Brady's kids.
God. On the other side of the ball, Evan Mathis no
and
longer there.
Wife.
So the offensive line, see, now we're venturing into a weird spot here. I'm just going to keep rolling. Defense, still very good, even with the pieces that they lost to keep Tlaib. I think is going to do a good job on, I would imagine it's Chris Hogan, but it could be Julian Edelman. I think Edelman's maybe a little too quick for him. You put Chris Harris, who's one of the slot corners in the league, on Julian Edelman and run around that way. It's going to be tough to score. It always is, Tom. It's tough to score on those guys. I think, you know what, in all honesty, the health of Martellus Bennett is kind of the X factor because they match up pretty well in the secondary. Could be Malcolm Mitchell again. Who could be a guy that ends up having a good matchup.
Oh, my guy that I said was the second most important player?
Here's the thing. Right, that's great. But if all of a sudden Chris Hogan gets hurt and Malcolm Mitchell becomes your number two corner and Aqib Tlaib's on him, I think he becomes non-factors too strong. Listen, I like Malcolm Mitchell. I think he's good. I just, Chris Hogan's your number two guy right now.
I think that's a pile of horse shit.
Anyway, good. Still very good defense. I think it's gonna be difficult for them to score unless Martellus Bennett comes through. Deion Lewis, Tom, you have any thoughts on that guy? 17 snaps, I believe.
No
it
problem
was
with
against
that.
The Baltimore
no
Ravens.
No problem with it.
I think just by design to keep him fresh for the stretch and into the playoffs?
I think it was just they were running plays that utilized James White, and while they might be interchangeable, I think that James White has not Wally Pipped Deion Lewis. But he's played at a level that right now commands the respect of being continued to more time. Okay?
Folks, I agree with you. Folks, I agree with you.
We were up late Monday night.
Nobody cares.
Well, I'm going to tell you. Phil, right, I'm saying this because I'm putting a friggin' bow on this. I'm done.
All right.
I'm friggin' hungry. It's 9:30. I'm starving. I got to eat.
You do have to eat. You know what a
good place? I haven't eaten since I had a veggie flatbread from Papagino's earlier today.
All right. Well, maybe you stop by Papagino's again, pick up a veggie flatbread if you want to go the healthy route. If you want to go, just the delicious route, you just pick yourself up a large pie and smash that thing on the ride home. Because,
you
Tom,
smash for everything.
Listen, every Papagino's pizza starts with dough made fresh daily in Walpole, Mass., and it's made with just 5 simple ingredients. And nothing else tastes like Papagino's. It's the official pizza of the New England Patriots. It's the official pizza of Quick Slants, the podcast. It's the official pizza of Quick Slants, the television program. Great episode this week with Gerard Mayo. Oh, you really brought the energy. Tremendous My Slant. I thought we were good on the old Quick Fire segment that the people just love.
What are you doing right now?
But I think we're going to put a bow on this. I just want to give a quick thank you to the other reviewers.
Oh, go ahead if you like
that
to
we
do that.
I don't want to read the whole thing because we got to wrap it up.
We would mention it though.
Yeah. Well, I want to give these people a shout out. I want to say thank you to Fricosis guy.
Oh yeah.
You know who you are. He says I laughed, I cried, and it was better than cats. I like.
He's
that,
always
actually.
There on Twitter for us. Thanks, Fricosis.
The Grand Jordanian.
Mm-hmm.
Man, this is tremendous. He says you like to wax profanic about his 3 favorite league stooges, Jeff Fisher, John Harbaugh, and Mike Kensel. he says Crickson is the honorary Shemp Howard of the bunch. These are great reviews. You guys are the best. You always leave us good stuff. Gangster 547, Rye Guy 230. Actually, we already read yours, Rye Guy, but you get a second shout out. We liked you that much. Better vote Tom Brady with an exclamation point. He says, loves listening to us. Great insight. Great chemistry.
Were we on live right now? He knew I wasn't voting.
He loves, hey, what's your number?
Oh, yeah.
Keep up the good work. And then last but not least, I think we got them all, as a matter of fact. Sorry. I almost read Bob Stewart, Mobile, Alabama again because Adam sent me that one twice. So we'll give him a second shout out as well. Apologies to everyone we didn't shout out twice, but we appreciate everybody's feedback. Please continue to leave us your ratings, your reviews on iTunes, Google Play. Is that a thing? Did I just make that up?
I've zoned out. I don't know what
Jason
you're
will edit
about.
That out if that's screwed up, or Adam will edit that out if that's screwed up. Audio Boom, Stitcher, all those places you can listen to us and leave us your feedback. We always appreciate it. Thanks for hanging with us as long as you did. Tom's playing us out. We will talk to you next week.
Thanks for listening to another podcast from CSNNE.com. If you liked it, if you hated it, let us know by leaving a rating or review. We could even read it during an upcoming episode. Subscribe to CSNNE podcasts like The Expats Podcast with Mike Giardi, Dan Copen, and Gerard Mayo, Quick Slants the Podcast with Tom E. Curran and Phil Perry, or Celtics Talk with Kyle Draper and A. Sherrod Blakely by using podcasting services like iTunes, Google Play, Spotify, Stitcher, or Audio Boom.